Thank you, John. You know, some days you get a cherry on top. I had a long day at the office a few years ago, and on Wednesday night, it was my habit to go ahead and stay at the office and go directly to church from the office, and so I'd stay and study or something like that. And I got lost and thought, that doesn't happen for me very often, but it did, and I was kind of in a hurry, and I hadn't eaten anything, so I stopped out here at McDonald's on 291. Who'd I run into but Richard Riggins? And he was on his way here. I said, Richard, what are you doing at Murray? And he says, well, I'm teaching the book of James. I said, you know, Richard had his coffee, which was, by the way, the elixir of life, I believe is what Richard called that. Yeah. I said, well, Richard, how do you prepare for a study that with James? He says, well, I don't know about other people, but while I was driving, I just memorized it. He was dead serious. And so you got a memorized version of the book of James, which what better could you get, right? I love that man. I love that man. And I love your fellowship. It's good to be with you. I don't know that you know. Oh my goodness. I see brethren I haven't seen for a while, and it just kind of warms your heart, doesn't it? See some folks that are struggling through this life and striving to serve the Lord just as we are. Folks we that for some reason move away. But it's good to be with you. And if you would allow me, we have a similar thing, maybe not as big, but maybe just a brief commercial the last week in July, the first week in August, to come be with us out of Smart Road. Is that okay, Brother Gary? Well, we're thinking about it, but I'll tell you what we did do. We took over the domain. Are you with me, Kenneth? Okay, took over the domain twoweekmeeting.com. So if you would type into your browser twoweekmeeting.com, that will take you to our two-week meeting website. And I believe our webmaster has the daily schedule up for your perusal. So you can pick the days that you want to come if you'd like. Of course, come and stay the 2 weeks, but if you can't do that. And what we've tried to do this year was keep each day a complete entity unto itself for the most part. So when you come for a day, you're going to hear the whole topic. And we've done something else, you know, Smart Road. We're just kind of weird out there. Pray for us, will you? We've taken a what we call a mutual edification approach to the two-week meeting. We've got over 40 teachers coming to handle topics from about 18 different congregations. So what a brotherhood. I am just thrilled to death. I grew up at Kenwood and saw some difficult times over there as a child. And I can tell you that I just love you, brethren, and it's just so neat that we can enjoy this fellowship together. What a joy. It's not even bad up in Iowa, is it, Tanner? No? Yeah. Another thing I want to tell you just before we get underway here is that, like John, I received a letter, and I've been asked to talk on temperance. Is that right, Glenn? Yeah. Temperance, not on grace. Okay? Grace is not my topic tonight. So please don't come up to me later on and pull my shirt tail and say, hey, you know, there's a grace thing in there. Yeah, there is, but guess what? You got work to do too. I want to take your minds back, if you will, 17 years before the fall of Jerusalem, fall of the temple. We're about at AD 53, and we're in Acts, the 21st chapter. You can run over there if you'd like. Acts 21. I don't know if you remember what's going on there, but Paul has come back from this third missionary journey. And he's run into a little resistance, recall? The Jews weren't very pleased with some of the things that Paul was saying. And so they had this big row, right? And they surrounded Paul. He was going to capture him, do harm to him. And the Romans stepped in and took over and took Paul into custody. Recall the story? Everybody with me so far? Okay. After a while, Paul, and I'm going to get into the detail. You all know this story. But after a while, they came before a guy named Felix. You know what Felix means? Take a stab. Felix. Felix. Happy. Good. Very good. Felix means happy. So Paul is going before happy. This is good news. Actually, Felix's reputation was anything but happy. In fact, Felix's reputation of one of mean cruelty This guy thought nothing of bringing great harm onto people. This guy was given to great fleshly pleasures. He gave himself over to every kind of debauchery you can think of. In fact, he liked a man's wife so much, he talked her into coming and living with him and marrying her. Her name was Drusilla. That was his third wife. One's enough, usually, isn't it? Stay with me now. But here's Felix, happy. Now we're 17 years away from real decimation. So what's going on in the Roman kingdom? They are not happy. This is a time of stress. This is a time of great heartache and trouble in this area. And what did Rome want? Rome wanted peace. And they will go to any great harm to make sure that you're peaceful. If it costs you your life, you're going to be peaceful, right? And so Paul comes before this guy. And Ananias, the high priest, is there. He comes down to make sure that things go the way that he wants them to go. He wants Paul killed. He brings with him his lawyers, says the elders came. And they even brought a special spokesperson to make sure that everything was said the way it needed to be said. You know, you need a lawyer to say anything. Sorry, Jim. And so here's this great entourage of lawyers and people, high priests on one side of the room, right? Bringing these great accusations against Paul in front of Happy. So Felix holds him over. I want to think about this. It's intriguing, isn't it? What is there to think about? What do you think Paul said? Well, we've got a little bit of what Paul said. I'd love to have more. But do you think this was a friendly conversation? Do you think this was a friendly environment? Now let's get this in our head. We've got all these people on one side of the room. What do we have on the other side of the room? What's Paul's condition right now? What, he's been left for dead, stoned? He's an old man by now. Do you think he's a daunting figure? No. In fact, in Acts 24, we see Paul come back before Felix. Felix calls him back. And I suggest to you that Ananias and the whole group came. They didn't have TV back then, so this was their form of entertainment to some extent, but they wanted to make sure Paul was taken care of. They wanted to make sure this turned out the way they wanted it to turn out, so there's great pressure. Rome wanted peace, and the Jews wanted Paul dead. Seems like an easy solution. All right? So in the 24th chapter, 24th verse, it says, after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jew, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Concerning the faith in Christ. Now, if you're before a high magistrate of some kind and you're in deep trouble, your life's on the line, is that your first line of defense? Faith in Christ? And let's see what Paul talks to him about. Three things here I want us to look at. 25. Now, as Paul reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Are those the first three things you would bring up if you were before a judge and your life was in the balance? You know, Felix, you're not living right. You know, Felix, this God that I serve has got standards. And from where I'm standing, you're not meeting them. There's a righteousness that he requires. You need to be like him. He desires you to pursue his righteousness. Number one, Felix. Number two, it takes a little temperance. It takes some self-control. And you have to bring yourself under control that you might meet these standards that God has. This knowledge that I've given you, this knowledge that I present before you is fact. And Felix, you need to come in line with that. There's a change that's needed. And guess what? This Jesus that I proclaim to you is coming back. And when he returns, there'll be a judgment. And he's going to stand you up next to those standards all by yourself. And he's going to see if you meet them. What was Felix's response? Well, one response might be, okay, Paul, I'll pray this little prayer. Right? Paul, I'll pray the little prayer you suggest to me, and I'm going to be fine. I can go on and live my life however I want. Thank you, Paul, for telling me this. Let's have this little prayer together. I'll touch the radio, and we're good. Is that what he did? Was that Felix's response? What did Felix want? That's kind of an interesting one. What did he want? Do you know? Money. Isn't that interesting? Did he need it? Looked me like he had all the power in the region. Looked me like he had the full power of the Roman government behind him and all the things that they would give him. They probably gave him room and board and everything else just like we do our officials. What was the response? Well, we look at 25. And Felix was afraid. What? Felix was afraid. Have you ever looked at the gospel and been afraid? Was Paul an effective orator? Was Paul an effective deliverer of the gospel? Was Paul effective in this situation? Is the gospel powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword? It was for Felix that day. Here's a man that had, in his mind, everything. He was at the top of the pinnacle of power in his area. He had the woman, apparently, that he wanted. He had the money that he wanted. He was getting more. And what Paul said to him scared him. There must be more to life than power and money. And he answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, when I have a convenient time, I'll call you." Isn't this a common reaction to the gospel today? It wasn't very long ago that I got my first car. It was a 61 Ford Fairlane. Baby blue. Never mind, it didn't run. I couldn't afford the parts it took to get it going. Dad had just kind of given it to me, and we were just, I'd sit out there and work on it. I couldn't afford any parts to put in it, but I worked on it a lot. It was ready to go if I ever got any parts for it. And that was just a few days ago. Wasn't it? Didn't you just start your career a few days ago? The old people always say, you know, life is so short. And these young people sit up there and say, "Oh man, you guys, you are ancient. You don't know." That doesn't apply to me. I'm going to live all my life. I said this at Smart Road, and with family here, I know I can say it. I know that Clint would be thrilled to death to know that his passing affected so many lives. And one thing that we learn from observing Clint's life is how brief and how uncertain it is. That day, Felix figured out that he was mortal. That day, he figured out that God had a standard. And for a brief moment, maybe he believed that God was going to judge him. And in that, then, he figured out that he had a responsibility. But he wasn't going to act on it yet. Look around at all these godly people. Look at this audience. We've got some people here that are just amazing. Great examples of Christianity. Strong in the faith. Pillars in the church. But let me assure you that each one of us has got these things in our lives that we would just love to change. Sin crouches at the door. We may not be Felix. We may not be Felix. But I can assure you, every one of us has got something we need to work on. The reason I say that is because the very guy that stood before Felix also said this in Romans 7. For what I am doing, I do not understand. It's a great mystery to me. I can just hear Paul going on about it. What frustration. For what I will do, that I do not practice. Right? And what I hate, that I do. Add to your knowledge. You know. How many sermons have you sat through? You've heard that thing that you're working on in your life. You've heard that talk spoke on many times. You've read it many times. You know the standard. You know what God wants. Do you hate it? Do you hate it in your life? Do you understand, like Felix for a brief moment understood that Jesus is coming back? Have you got it? I'll swear, sometimes in my own life, it's frustrating when sin presents itself and I, according to James, it's on me. I submit. I allow that sin to come into my life. It's a temptation in me. And this is the temperance. This is the self-control. This is the thing that Peter's trying to get across to us here. And we're supposed to approach this with what? Diligence. Does that mean we can wait? Felix wanted to wait. Do you want to wait? How long will you wait? Those of you that's been at this for a long, 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 long time, how long will you wait? To bring that diligence to that thing, that self-control issue that needs to be addressed. Romans 6, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. What's Paul mean by that? Dead to sin. But alive in God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. What Paul was describing there in the 7th chapter of Romans was the fact that this thing, this pile of clay, has desires, has drives, has pushes that drive us right to the brink of sin. And it's not my wife's job. It's not the evangelist's job. It's not your parents' job. It's not the teacher's job. It's not the eldership's job. God has no grandchildren. You are the one responsible to solve that thing. Oh, there's all kinds of help, all kinds of support. John just gave you the very key. Study. Do you realize that our bodies are temporal? They're mortal. We're going to throw this thing off. You know, when you're young, you put so much credence in, you know, this and that, and we spend a lot of money on that, and getting all that looking just right, but that's going to pass. That's going to go away. Ultimately, the whole thing is just going to rot. And this spirit that's within us, that God's given us, is going to go on for eternity. And whether you win that battle with the mortal will dictate how you'll spend eternity. I've had some long days. I've had some difficult times. Does it compare to eternity? Have you thought about that? How long is eternity? And unlike all the video games, unlike all the things that are presented today, millennialists, post, pre, and all that other stuff, there's no second chance. We will look up in hell. Somebody will look up in hell and understand, I messed up. I pray it's not you. I pray it's not me. I understand grace. Okay, I got the grace thing. God sent His Son, that's grace. God made the plan, that's grace. We didn't deserve that. But it's on me. It's on you. And we can help one another, but ultimately, you're responsible. You are prepared for heavenly work. Are you? You know, I looked up, did a little reading on what it takes to change a habit or what it takes to improve yourself, you know, self-improvement. Well, it's all over the place, right? As I suck it in just a little bit. I lost weight for a little while, then it came back. I don't know how that works, but here's a few things that were suggested to help us with temptation, to help us with those times, right? Try your best to remove the temptation. What did Joseph do? What did he do? Why do you think he ran? He was a man, right? He was a man. She was probably pretty. I doubt that the guy married an ugly woman. Not the top of Egypt, right? Not there. He would have had a pretty wife. And Joseph knew he had that drive. This carnal thing pushes us. And he ran. Are there things in your life that make it difficult to have self-control? Run. Take them out. Eternity's a long time. One suggestion was to reduce daily stress. Now Laura's going to sit there and check all these things off. We'll talk on the way home. Reduce daily stress. She'll tell you, I am the greatest sinner. There's much to do. There's work on every hand, right? But if you're under stress, you don't make as good of decisions, right? Some of us can handle stress better than others, but think about the things that stress you and try to back it off. Again, eternity is a long time. And I can tell you, looking back on a career, it wasn't very long ago, I was a general manager of a large computer corporation that made $20 million. And now I'm toilet man. Guess which job I like better? works. They also suggested sleep is a good thing to do sometimes. If you're rested, you can handle the stresses of life a little better, right? Not all of us are Rick Sparks. I don't know how he does it, but he continues to do it well. But if you've ever sat up and studied with Rick or something like that at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I have a hard time keeping up with Rick while I'm fresh. So how I love that man. But sleep, I need to sleep, yeah. And 3 or 4 days in a row with 4 hours of sleep, and I might respond differently. John said something about yelling, I think, or something. No, maybe not. Add a little enjoyment to your life. There's a thought. If life was a little happier, spend time with people you love. Meeting. Do you know the last week of July, the first week of August? Another thing they suggested was to have a plan. Have you ever heard that said before? Have a plan. Would you get a plan? Have a plan. And guess what your plan ought to be? I thought this was interesting, to have a plan. Get your life organized and the day will go better. Get your life to organize and your eternity will go better, I think would be the proper renunciation of that. Eternity will go better. Have a plan and stick to it. Read. Increase your faith. Choose positive role models. Choose positive role models. Who are you spending time with? Young people, who are you spending time with? Online. Right? Who are you texting? Who's planting thoughts in your mind? Eternity is a long time. And you will be going there. In fact, you're in the middle of it now. I wanted to talk about the Rickabites. And I'm out of time. That happens. You knew who the Rickabites were? Rickabites? 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 Some of you do. Just briefly, just briefly, Jethro was whose father-in-law? Moses. That's right. And he was priest of Midian, right? Priest of Midian. And he gave Moses some pretty important counsel, didn't he? Well, that's not all his family did for the children of Israel. There's a series of passages, and I guess what? I'm not going to give them to you. I want you to go back and go find this out. See, Bereans, see if this is true. His people become the Rickabites. And the Rickabites had this thing that had been passed down from one of their patriarchs that they weren't to drink wine. Right? And in Jeremiah, 35th chapter, Jehoiakim is king of Judah, and they're in trouble. A guy named Nebuchadnezzar had come and was starting to take the fortified cities of Judah. And God told Jeremiah to go get the Rickabites and offer him some wine. Why would I go get the Rickabites and offer him wine? I've got this guy out here knocking on my door trying to get in. No, go get the Rickabites and offer him some wine. In verse 6, but they said, the Rickabites, we shall drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, we shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. He wanted them to see that there was people out there that could stay the course, that could do what was right. They'd been told to do it, passed it down from generation to generation to generation, and they still did not drink wine. And that was the object lesson for the king. Find a Rickabite if you need one in your own life. Somebody that could be a good example to you, especially in a time of difficulty. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is noble, just, pure, lovely, good report. If there's any virtues or any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know, one of the beautiful things about that passage in 2 Peter, if I can get there real quick. You know, we love guarantees, don't we? Can I get a guarantee on that? If I do this, I get that, I buy your car, I get 5 years, everything's covered. I've had the privilege of working with several couples before they got married, and I give them a guarantee. I guarantee that if you and your spouse and God are all tied up together, you'll have a wonderful marriage. That's a guarantee. Take a look at verse 10 of 2 Peter 1. Therefore, brethren, be more than diligent and make sure your call and election is sure. For if you do these things, the things that he's listed here, if you do these things, what? Do you know how long is never? I love guarantees. And I guarantee you, if you take this track that the brethren here are presenting before you tonight, and you make these things a part of your life, eternity, a wonderful eternity, awaits you. If you've not named the name of Jesus, if you've not bowed your knee, if you've not met him in the water of graves of baptism, let me put this nicely. You're condemned to hell. End of story. You will not negotiate with God. Do you think Felix did? Do you think Felix ever came to know Jesus? I hope he did. But if he took that approach, not today, and he kept that approach, he'll answer. Are you taking Felix's approach? You know the gospel. You know eternity's there. You know Jesus is going to return. You have the knowledge. Do you have the self-control that it takes to stand up, to come forward, to speak his name, to follow him through the watery grave of baptism? Eternity's a long time. Don't delay. As we stand and sing the song that's been selected.